Well, welcome to Asbury, and welcome to our celebration service. We've got, if you're visiting with us today, you're a special guest, and we have our second traditional, or as we call it, our divine service, going on right now in the sanctuary. So we've actually got two services going on. Going through the announcements as they scroll through on screen, confirmation orientation. If you're interested in having your sixth grader go through the confirmation classes, there is going to be a luncheon, and let me see here, it's on Sunday, August the 13th. It's kind of one of those, be there, as they say in the 70s, be there, be square, you gotta go. So Miss Laura and Miss Amy Shores is gonna be doing the confirmation class this fall, so be in attendance and get a lot of questions answered. This is gonna be a great time. Back to school. Promotion Sunday is August the 13th, Promotion Sunday. And I don't know, Cindy, if we're going to get promoted or not, so probably not. I'll have to redo the whatever grade I'm in now. So be there. This morning, we're right in the middle, Mary and I are, of our faith through the decades. We did the 50s 2 weeks ago. We did the 60s last week, 70s this week. And we're starting to get into some of those decades that that we're more and more familiar with. I will tell you that I was dressed this morning in my khakis, my Dockers, and I had my boat shoes out, and then I had my button-down white shirt on, and I reached up and I pulled off my suit coats. I had a double-breasted gold button sports coat, navy blue. And I had borrowed one of Dad's ties, one of the wide ties. And then I looked in the mirror, and I thought, the tie is the only thing that you had to go to a different closet to get. I am stuck in the 70s. No. Oh, well, it is what it is. But we're going to have a good time this morning. Hopefully we will smile a little bit. We're going to search the scriptures, and we're going to see what we can pull out of it directly related to the 70s, and we're just going to have fun doing it. So I think we have got another good 70s song coming up, one of those good ballads that came out of the late 60s into the early 70s, and I believe it is Dobie Gray, Lean on Me.
How is everybody this morning? Good? Well, we have a special guest this morning that I'm going to introduce to you, okay? We have a very special guest. Ladies and gentlemen, Princess Hope. Come on out, Hope. All right. Did y'all know that Princess Hope was making up new rules for us to live by? She's got some pretty exciting rules I want to tell you about. What's your new rule?
No more school and puppies for everyone.
No more school and puppies for everyone. Who's excited about that? Pretty awesome. Well, this is just Hope. It's not Princess Hope. She's pretending to be princess. Who would like to be king or queen or prince or princess for a day? Raise your hand if you would like to be. Okay. Hope is going to go put the crown on you. Can you come up with something? What would you do if you were the princess? What rule would you make?
I don't know.
Don't know? You'd have to think about it. Anybody else got an idea of what they would do if they were in charge? All right. What about you?
I would, I don't know.
I could come up with a lot of ideas. Anybody?
I have a few, but I don't really.
Okay, anybody else? Got one? Okay. What would be a rule that you would come up with?
Read the Bible.
I like that. I like that. You would force people to read the Bible. Well, we're going to talk about an actual king today who put aside his godly crown and came and lived among us, and it was Jesus Christ, of course. He wasn't born in a special place at all. In fact, he was born in a stable with animals. And he spent his whole life not making up rules for people to that he commanded them to do, but serving people. He did give us some rules, but he served people. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. And he was a friend to people who didn't have any friends. And he was a servant leader. That was the kind of leader he was. And in fact, he didn't live in a palace. He didn't have any jewels or gold or silver, but he was the greatest leader of all. And so what we can do is we can think about Jesus as a leader and as a person and the way he served and helped others, and we can come up with ideas to help people. Does anybody have any ideas of how you could help somebody today or how you could serve today? There's a lot of opportunities at our church.
Pray for the homeless.
Yep, and I heard you say help the poor, too. We can do that right now. We don't even have to be a prince or a king or queen. So, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of Jesus Christ, and help us look to Jesus as an example of how to serve and help others and live our lives. In Christ's name, amen.
Both through the eyes of a child. You got to get down on their level to see it, but it's a gorgeous thing. As we enter into our time of prayer, on the back of the bulletin, there are some names listed, and just be mindful of the enormous responsibility that we have to pray for these people, but also the enormous honor that we have to pray for these people, to actually take their name into the throne room of God. And I'm going to call out these names: Mary Wolf, Laura Stinnett. Laura is back from the Mayo Clinic. She's here today. If you see her, give her a big hug. Carolyn Tatum, Emily Evans, Beth Culbertson is in CVICU. In Baptist, and I visited with her the other day. The tube has been taken out of her mouth so she can speak just a little bit. Pat Parsons, those of you that know Pat, goodness sakes, she had gallbladder surgery on Wednesday. I went up to see her on Thursday. Before I got into her room, she was sitting in the chair, and she had just gotten back into bed. And then she was going to have some bile ducts cleaned out a little bit on Thursday afternoon, but the smile that she had on her face. I have to confess, I was driving to Baptist thinking about all of my troubles that I was having, not getting the sermon done. I got to get this stuff done. I got to get this done. And I kept just worrying about it. And I walked in, and she smiled. And it was just the most wonderful feeling just to see her smile. Everything just washed away. All of my troubles went away with music. That was the sound for closing down. So, okay. David Moore and his wife Melissa on the loss of Melissa's mom. And Beth Watts learned this morning that Beth is in St. Vincent's ICU this morning. She fell and she broke her arm. I think spent quite a bit of time, as you normally do, in the ER before they actually admitted her. So she, I believe, has some pneumonia symptoms this morning. Also, Charlie Ward Sr. Please pray for Charlie. I visited with him this last week, and he is another man that just has such a wonderful attitude. I wish I could have his attitude right now. I mean, he is just so joyful, but he is in hospice care. So please be mindful of Charlie. And others that you know that's on your heart, we're going to go to the Lord, and I just ask you to lift those up silently as we pray. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, you are so loving and kind to your children. You desire to pour out blessings on us that we cannot hold if we only follow your word. Sadly, Lord, sometimes we heed the cautions of your teachings. We fail to do so, and as a result, we get ourselves into many situations where we need your help desperately. Help us to learn better, to listen better, and to love better. Speak to our spiritual ears through your word and through your Holy Spirit. Help us to set aside more time in the day to spend in your wonderful word and in prayer with you. This morning, Lord, we join our hearts together to pray for our country and for a world who needs you greatly. We pray for all of our military who are away from their families, their husbands, their wives, their sons, their daughters, and their mothers and fathers. Grant them peace. We also pray, loving Lord, for our sick and those in hospital care and in hospice care. Grant them peace. We lift them up to you and ask that you dispatch angels of comfort to each and every one of them. We also pray for those who have lost loved ones, Lord. Father, grant them peace. We pray a peace that can only come from you. Father, today we praise your name and we lift up the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, I'm going to be competing this morning for your attention. I can almost smell it right now. Ladies are going to be baking bread in the kitchen. So please try to stay focused because my mind is going to be wandering to that fresh baked bread that is, my mouth is already starting to water. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Loving God, we look to you for wisdom. We thank you for the many blessings that you bestow on us. We ask, as we return a portion of those blessings to you, that you bless them as they are used and multiplied to reach missions in this city, this state, and around the world. We honor you and we praise you for being our loving Heavenly Father. Amen.
I may not be every mother's dream for her little girl. My face may not grace the mind of everyone in the world. But that's all right, as long as I can have one wish, I pray. When people look inside my mind, I wanna hear them say, she has her father's eyes, her father's eyes. As if I'm a good man, good is not around. As if I'm the source of help when help just can't be found. Eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father. Father's eyes, you know, just like my father's eyes. On that day when we will pay for all the deeds we've done, good and bad, you know, they'll all be had. See by everyone. And when you're called to stand and tell just what you saw in
more than anything I know, I want your words to be. She had her father's eyes, her father's eyes. You know, eyes that found the good in things when good was not around. Eyes that found the source of help when help would not be found. Eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, you know, just like my father's eyes, my father's eyes, my father's eyes, you know, just like my father's.
We're a little bit out of sync this morning because we're going to watch that. That's a servant's attitude. And if he didn't do it when he got home, just to let you know, Kara stepped back this morning and she twisted her ankle. So that's the reason for that. So in all of the prayer lists that I'd ask, that you please add her specifically for her ankle, and that we would get well. But we also prayed this morning that God's going to do some great and mighty things today in spite of the troubles that are thrown at us. We're overcomers. We're overcomers. If you have your Bible with you this morning, and I hope you do, we're going to be reading out of Philippians. And we're going to read in chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. And going through verse 11. And I just pray that the reading of God's words would bless you just immeasurably. Beginning in verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, here we are in the 70s. I tried to put on my letter jacket this morning. It's a bit tight. But yeah, go Bulldogs. And I went up in what I call my asylum, which is the room above the garage that's finished out, and it's called an asylum for a reason. I'll tell you the story later. And I found a couple of old albums, the Doobie Brothers, which, being a drummer, the Doobie Brothers drummer was just it. And that's my style of drumming. And then my favorite band in the 70s, for those of you, was Alan Parsons Project. The band that was so electronic, they couldn't tour. They were a studio band until the late 80s when they could travel. So that's just a little bit of me this morning. And Cindy had brought some pictures out of me at my high school prom, my junior senior prom, and then also of me with hair, goodness, about as long as Sean's. And I decided, nope, not bringing those, not today, no. Well, let's just kind of go back into review just a little bit, just real briefly. The 50s, we talked about the 50s. It was a God-centered, family-centered time. Sunday school, vacation Bible school, church socials, man, that was the thing to be. And people moved from the city into the suburbs, into the two-car garage, with two cars in it, the two kids, and, of course, that new room in their house called the family room. The 50s were faith-filled, to say the least. Some of the minor experimentation of drugs that began in the 50s all of a sudden blossomed in the 60s with LSD and other psychotropic drugs. The church was bundled with big business, government, and other establishment things. So it was very, very easy that the anti-establishment crowd could be against everything that came out of the 50s, everything that they opposed. You know, the 60s were assassinations, Vietnam, civil rights clashes. Those were the headlines. They were the headlines, and the 60s were definitely the dark age, the dark decade of divisiveness. Well, I promise, in the 70s today, don't get bummed out, as they said. I'm not going to be a downer this week, man. Can you dig it? Well, your answer might be 10-4, good buddy. Remember that, the CBs? So let's boogie down, travel back to the 70s, as they said, be there or be square, and we'll have a good time, but let's keep it clean so the fuzz don't get up in our business. Now you see up on the slide, government events saw some different takes in the 70s. For the first time in recent history, there was somebody that was born in another country that actually served as our Secretary of State, Dr. Henry Kissinger, up on the top right-hand side. He served under the Nixon and the Ford offices, and he was the 56th Secretary of the United States. Now, just a side note, he did serve under Gerald Ford, but President Ford was the only president to assume the role of that office and vice president and never be elected by the Electoral College. And all of the talk that's been going on about the Electoral College in this last election, wow. Because when Agnew resigned as vice president, he was brought up under an amendment in the Constitution to serve as vice president. And then when Nixon resigned, he was brought up. And then Nelson Rockefeller, who was the senator from New York, came in, and he was the second person to serve as a vice president, not having been elected by the Electoral College. And then the other pictures you see there, Anwar Sadat, Menachem Begin, and Jimmy Carter at the Camp David peace accords between Egypt and Israel. The agreement of that meeting is still in place today. Gas lines. Man, it was 1973 when the oil imports started to slow into the U.S. because of the Arab states, the oil-producing states, as they became known as OPEC, the oil-producing eastern countries, they stopped the oil coming in. Gas lines, low supplies, and even no supplies. And I don't know if some of you remember those signs that they put out on the gas pumps. No gas today. Now, I'm not sure what that fourth picture up there is doing. Elvis in the Oval Office with President Nixon. I'm not sure what they were talking about. But, you know, Elvis died in 1977. And he's probably been seen more places since his death than just the Oval Office. Disneyland, outer space, I don't know of all places. Well, let's go to the next slide and talk about just some relationships, because this morning we talked about some relationships in the scriptures. And how about Sonny and Cher? Who remembers the Sonny and Cher Hour? They were singers, and then they became husband and wife. And in the 70s, they had their show. And then the $6 Billion Man. Remember the... And then, of course, Farrah Fawcett. Every teenage boy had the picture of Farrah Fawcett on his wall in his bedroom. Well, other than me, I had a picture of Snoopy, so I'll just, yeah, that was me. And then Steve Martin and Bernadette Peters, they were a comedy couple. That's when all of a sudden these couples in Hollywood started getting together that, you know, kind of ran in groups, but they never married, but they were a very strong couple. And in the next slide, hang on just a second, let me go through this, the sitcoms. Now, I want to tell you, it was a time of transition because there were some sitcoms that came out in the 70s that pushed the envelope. But there were some very strong sitcoms that came that, if you think about it, they were trying to go back to the family-centered, God-centered times of the 50s. Shows like MASH was set in the 50s during the Korean War. But it also had, you were intimate with those characters. And who could forget Happy Days? Tom Bosley as the dad, and it was just, you know, it was a family. It was around family time. But then others started pushing the envelope. John Ritter in Three's Company, a single man living with two single women. Back then, that was kind of very risque. You know, in the 60s, Hollywood had the silver screen, and in the 50s and the 40s. But in the 70s, they started taking over and influencing our social norms through the TV. Well, let's talk about the big power bands. The 70s was a fantastic time for music. The Doobie Brothers, Eagles, Lynyrd Skynyrd up there on the right-hand side. There's nothing up there, but Lynyrd Skynyrd was the southern rock band of the 70s. Queen, and of course, Elton John and Fleetwood Mac. I mean, they were there. The Bee Gees is not up there. That was a time for some great music, absolutely. Some of the movies that came out of the 70s. Rocky 1, not 2, 3, 4, or 6. Rocky 1 in 1976. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in 1975. We read that book in high school. And it was just so much alive with Nurse Ratched. Oh, my goodness, she was scary. Dun, 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 dun. Jaws. Yeah, Jaws came out in 1975. Still makes me afraid to swim in the Gulf. And Close Encounters of the Third Kind in 1977. Yeah. And also, May the Force Be With You, 1977. And you would think, Star Wars 1. No, where's my Star Wars fans? It was episode 4. That's right. It started in 4. Just drives a statistician like me up the wall. Start at 1 where you're supposed to. But now, when you couple the music that we just talked about with the movies that you talk about, I mean, the Bee Gees, it just has to be. Go ahead and hit that slide. Yes, it was.
It was Jesus. Right.
John Travolta. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm excited and I'm pumped up now. Okay, self-ID. How many disco nuts were in here? Yes, I was a disco nut. Actually won some disco dance contests, believe it or not. I would throw my back out now if I tried some of that. Now, all this is fun, and we've had a good time looking at some of this stuff. But the question begs itself, what I haven't covered is, where was the church? Where was the church in the 70s? And the church actually had, in that decade, two very distinct faces. The early part of the decade was basically a continuation of the institutionalized Christianity of the late 60s. There was still a great resistance by those anti-establishment people to anything that government or that the church had to offer. But when those people started returning back to the church, they did so with still that anti-establishment or that questioning attitude. The Jesus freaks hit the world at that time with an attitude that Christianity needed to return back to its roots. And if you remember that movement, the premise behind it was sell everything you've got, give it to the poor, and we're going to go live in communes and live very basic, simplistic lives. That was the early 70s. And in the middle part of the 70s, something began to change just a little bit. Mega churches started showing up and popping up on the West Coast, and then they slowly progressed to the East. Evangelizing became a popular movement, even coupling the Catholic churches and the Protestant churches and the Methodist church. All of the churches became together, and there was a charismatic movement that happened just right after 1975. We were talking about it at dinner the other night, where in RVs, people went to Notre Dame, and there was like 50 to 60,000 people of all faiths getting together during that time. I remember 1977 in Greenwood taking a course at my church called the Evangelism Explosion, teaching people how to go out and evangelize and to witness and to tell people about Jesus. Well, I had my mountaintop experience when I was 19 years old. And it was at that time that I promised God that sometime in my life that I would work full-time for Him in His ministry. Well, as I told the youth this morning, it's kind of prophetic. 40 years later, here I am. Kind of an important number in the Bible, 40, an important number to me. Well, in this morning's scripture, Paul begins with verse 5 with a very important measure. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the mindset of Christ. Last week I spoke about the actions of the 60s in groups and government and things of that nature. The scripture talked about how we should love one another, and the love described by John was not an emotion, but it was an action. Paul is also describing an action in these short verses this morning and how we should approach our relationships. Well, let's back up to verse 3. We started at verse 5 this morning. He writes, do nothing selfish, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Rather, in humility, regard others better than yourselves. And continuing in verse 4, he writes, let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interest of others. Now you can see how the Jesus freaks would take that very literally, and they sold everything they had and gave to the poor and lived in communes. Paul is telling us that this mindset of Christ is in his service to others. We can see it the way Jesus acted throughout his entire years here on earth, and it should be in ours as well. And we're going to look at three areas this morning, as explained in the scriptures. We're going to look at the Son's position, we're going to look at the Father's acknowledgement, and we're going to look at our response. Well, let's begin with the Son's position. The scripture says that he was equal with God. John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word described here, and in all things were created in him. Jesus is God's Son. But Jesus took the form of a man. And even though he continued to be God, he became a man. And he did not flaunt his position as we read earlier. He left glorious heaven, a place of perfection, and came to this earth. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus was not selfish. He was not conceited. He became humble. And we read time and time again, he regarded people, held them higher than he held himself. Well, what did Jesus really become when he left heaven? Verse 7 says, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave being born in human likeness and being found in human form. He emptied everything that he had in heaven, his position, his power, his authority, his perfection, emptied himself and left that place and came to earth in the form of a man. Became human with all of the scrapes and the hurts and the emotional things that hit us as a human. But the scriptures tell us a little bit more of what he became. It says that he became the lowest of the low. He became a slave. Now back then, slaves were chattel. In other words, slaves were property to be handled any way you wanted to handle with. Use them to trade back and forth, to pay debts. That's the way it was. Most slaves entered that slavedom, if you will, because they were the spoils of war. Or you could enter slavery to actually pay off a debt that you had to somebody else. You personally give yourself to that person to satisfy a debt over a 7-year period of time. Ask yourself, think about it. Is it not eye-opening that Jesus, who owed no debt, took the form of a debtor slave? As a person who had no debts to pay, he literally became a sacrifice for us. We see the position of the Son in what he left and what he became. But what did he give up? We can easily go through that list because we can say he gave everything. Everything. Verse 8 tells us that Jesus became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Not just death, even the death on the cross. Giving up one's life for another is called the ultimate sacrifice in the military and in civilian realms, to give your life up for somebody else. The scripture says that Jesus chose to give up his life for us, even on the cross. The most horrible, horrid way to die, on the cross. Romans adopted this form of execution as punishment for the most serious of criminals. Not just normal criminals, the serious of criminals. Imagine Jesus being treated as an ultimate criminal by men and becoming sin to the Father, so much so that the Father had to turn his face from him when he was on the cross. Jesus agonized not only in the pain of his humanness, but in his spirit by being separated from his Father as he became sin for us. Well, what was the Father's acknowledgement? The scripture continues to tell us that even though the Son became sin for us, the Father exalted him. In Acts 2, 32 and 33, it says, God raised him, this Jesus, to life, and we are all witnesses to it. Paul continues saying, he exalted him to the right hand of God and has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you see here and now. Jesus left heaven to come to earth. The Son in whom all things were created. The Son in whom all things were created to become a slave unto death and a sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. The Father provided us this sacrifice. We couldn't do it. But we see the Father in turn raise Jesus from the dead. And not only that, but exalted him back to the very place that Jesus left, his right hand. The Father completely restored his Son. And the Father gave Jesus a name that is above all names, not just equal, but is above. And verse 9 tells us what that name is. So what should our response be to this? The name that God gave the Son is Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He's Lord. He's Master. He's the Word. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's the Lamb of God, and many others. God gave him a specific name that all will call him. All will call him. Christ will judge the world, and all will call him by that name. Verse 10 and 11 says that, remember, every knee should bend. Some versions say every knee shall bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. That part of that verse is sometimes left out when people quote that verse. They usually say every knee should bow on earth, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth. And they leave out that third part. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Well, there isn't a single person in that verse that's going to be left out on the day of accounting. Everything that has been created and everything that has been born, everyone in heaven, everyone on earth, and everyone under the earth will recognize Jesus and his authority and his rule. Well, this is our response. Our transformation is from death to life when we accept the saving grace of God and that he extends to us through his Son. Our voice will sound calling him Lord, Savior, Messiah, Christ. Paul writes in Romans what happens when we accept Jesus as our Christ. In chapter 8, verse 16, he says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." He continues, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." Now if that doesn't excite you like a good old Bee Gees song, nothing will. God restored Jesus to his rightful place. God, through Jesus, restores us to a place as his children and as a joint heir with Jesus Christ and all of the riches of heaven. What a glorious place for us to be. And all of this is something we cannot earn. We can't do this for ourselves. It's already been done for us. All we have to do is accept the gift of eternal life. So what do we take from the 70s, from this and from the scripture this morning? I believe that we should walk daily and walk humbly with our God, trusting in our Lord Jesus because of what he left, what he became, and what he did for us. And that we need to develop a servant's heart, always treating others better than we treat ourselves. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's go to the God in prayer, please. Father, there is just no words that can describe the love that you have for us. And there's no way we could understand it in our limited minds. To give your Son as a sacrifice for us, to ask him to leave the glorious heaven, to come to earth, to experience all of the humanness that we experience, and to, Father, to offer him as a sacrifice for our sins, past, present, and future. And all of the sins of the world was laid upon your Son for us. And then, Father, you raised him from the dead. You restored him to his rightful place and created a way that we could have a relationship with you. You've done that for all of us. What is our response, Lord? what should our response be this morning other than to love you with all of our hearts, our soul, our mind, and our bodies, and to love others as ourself, and even placing them first. Father, we love you, and we thank you for your Son, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to come forward and pray this morning, the prayer rails are always open. If you'd like to join this church by way of transfer of letter or profession of faith, then I invite you to come forward as the band sings this morning. Amen. Would everybody please be seated for just a moment? We've got a little presentation that we need to do, and this is the Martin Scholarship Fund. Now, up on screen, you will see the history that the Addie Virginia Wright Martin and the Robert Longley Martin Scholarship Fund was gifted to this church in 1988 and 89. Addie was Robert's mother, and the fund is to be used, quote, to provide a scholarship fund for deserving members of Asbury for higher education beyond that of high school level. Since its inception, 177 Asbury members have received the scholarship. Wow. So if you are here this morning, these are the scholarships, and the envelope says, no, okay, that was Johnny Carson, right? Huh? The great Karnak. If you're here this morning, I'm going to ask you to come forward as I call out your names. Is Lauren here? Lauren Ator, if I'm pronouncing the name correctly. Lauren, are you here? Come on up. Now, as I give this to you, I want you to stand up here because we're going to pray, okay? There you go. Lisa Gillet, or Leah Gillet. Not Lisa, Leah. Okay, is Leah not here? Okay. Annie Berry. Annie?
She's not here.
Dun, 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 Annie's not here. Bradley McNerlin, I know that Sean, you're going to be up here. And also Vincent McNerlin, your two sons. Yay. You got three. No, you can only have two. You got two sons. You can only have two. Okay, there we go. Lindsay Dawson. Lindsay, are you here? Come on up, Lindsay. See, this is just such a, I'm having fun at this. I mean, when you get to pass out scholarships, this is great stuff. Blake Burgess, Blake, okay, and Lene Wall. Lene, come on up, come on. Congratulations all of you. And I know as a church, this is something we do for those students past high school that is very much needed. Have you seen the price of higher education these days? Oh, my goodness. So, God blesses this church through its members. God blesses this church through many other ways. And in turn, what are we supposed to do? Bless others, right? So let's just pray over these scholarship recipients. Father, I thank you for the drive that you have given these people. Lord, I just pray that through the blessings that this church has been bestowed, that we in turn bless others. I pray success, I pray wisdom, and I pray knowledge on them as they go and they continue to pursue their higher education dreams and desire. Father, we love you. Thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Y'all can have a seat. Have you had a good time with the 70s today? It was a good time. It was a dark time, but it was a good time. And please don't ask me to put on my Letterman's jacket because I might rip it out. So if you would please stand and receive this blessing. May you go out this week with the mind of Christ. And may you go out humbled to the point that you see a need and that you lower yourself and meet that need. No matter if it's a child, a man, a woman, no matter what situation you're in. Open your heart, open your mind, and open your ears. The Holy Spirit will guide you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.